So I just share about baptism, why we baptize people, and what is baptism? So let me read to you a text that will help me launch. And here is Jesus talking. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Father, we pray that you will bless us this morning. You'll grant us understanding, give us eyes that will see and ears that will hear, and grant us revelation regarding baptism. So we bless your name. Anoint us, we ask in Jesus' name. What is baptism? Baptism simply means to wholly cover over in a fluid, or to immerse something in a liquid. So you will see this in everyday life, even though nobody has ever stopped to explain to us what that is. And baptism always has to do with water. I read something where some guy said, there is nothing about water in baptism, and I thought, he need to go and see John the Baptist. He needed a whole river to do his baptism. Yes. And sometimes we get too clever for our own selves. But baptism is a place where there's a change of state, where the thing that is baptized becomes change, that it'll be very difficult for that particular thing or that particular person to go back to their original state. When you have onions in brine that are called pickled onions, that's baptism. And it's very difficult for that onion, being in the brine, to go back to the original state. The state of the onion is almost changed forever.
Yes.
When you have flats, and if you're Maori, Kuya, and you're weaving stuff, you want the flax to change the color. You immerse the flax in the dye, in the liquid. You boil the liquid, you put the dye inside, then you put the flax inside. When you take the flax out, the flax is almost virtually now changed its state. It'll be very difficult for you to de-dye the flax. It's changed. That's baptism. A baptism is a transition from one state to another, but always involves water. Moses was born in a ghetto, raised in a palace. Between the ghetto and the palace, the ark had to go through water. He was born a slave, raised a prince. Between the slave and the prince, it's a body of water. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Many years later, the same man brought a whole nation to a sea, and they went through the sea, and the Bible says that was a baptism. So there is a transitioning in baptism where the state of the thing or the person being baptized is changed after baptism than before baptism. Are you all right?
Yeah.
So when Peter the apostle said, when Noah went through the flood waters, that was a baptism. So from the old world where everybody died to the new world where now he's got to populate or repopulate the earth, from the old earth to the new earth is water. And you will always find that when it comes to baptism. The problem today with Christians is they just get dunked and never understand, so sometimes they never change. The same guy that went in is the same guy that came out. Are you okay? Say amen.
Amen.
So why do you get baptized? Because we are commanded. We just read that. Go we therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them.
Yes, Lord.
And baptism is a post-salvation experience. You're not saved by baptism, even though in a sense you're saved, but not just saved from your sin. You're saved from your enemies. When Noah, the Bible, Peter said, Noah saved out of the waters of baptism. He wasn't saved from his sin. He was saved from the old world. He was saved from the death of the old world.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. But we are commanded to be baptized. Jesus said, if you're saved, you need to be baptized. You've got no option. Otherwise, where you are, you may get saved, but you will still be hassled by the devil. You can be saved in the old world. If you live in the old world, you're dying in the old world. And you will struggle in your life because you've never changed. You've never transitioned from the old master, Pharaoh, to the new master, Jesus. Are you okay?
Yes.
So people struggle. I know a farmer, and I won't mention his name because... But he lived in the Wairarapas, and he was saved for many, many years. And he said, I struggle with my faith. I struggle. You know, my wife and the kids, they're okay, but And he came out, and I spoke, and he got baptized. Now, I'm not saying that this will happen to everybody, but something so dramatic happened after his baptism that he began to hear from God so well that while everybody was farming sheep, he began to farm cattle. And he said, I heard from God. That was after his baptism. Before his baptism, he was struggling with one farm. After his baptism, I think he got five farms now.
Oh, hallelujah.
I'm not saying that when you get baptized, you get five farms. All I'm saying is the guy struggled for years. But when he transitioned from where he was through the waters of baptism,
yes,
something dramatic, yes, happened.
Amen.
And when you're baptized, you don't just get wet. It's an experience that is post your salvation. You're not saved by water, you're saved by blood. So when they were in Egypt, they were saved from the judgment of God by the blood on the doorpost. But they were still in Egypt. The problem is you can be saved, but still in Egypt. You may be saved from the wrath of God, your sins are forgiven, but you're still sitting under the regime of a master that is out to destroy you. He wants you to be a slave for the rest of your life.
Yes.
So baptism is not only just a transition, it's a commandment. Jesus, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And when you have baptism, it means you're declaring to everybody, because it's post-salvation, I'm already saved, but I'm declaring to everybody publicly about what has already happened inside of me. It's an outward act of an inward transformation.
Amen, Lord. Hallelujah.
Good preaching,
Pastor.
Yes. So I get concerned when people say, if you want to get baptized, No, you need to get baptized. It's not a matter of you wanting to get baptized. If you're going to live your life as a Christian and be free, you need to get baptized. It's commanded of us as disciples of the Savior to be baptized.
Yes.
Baptism is also a point of us believing and acting out what we believe. He is a eunuch from Ethiopia, a servant of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And he was in Jerusalem to worship, and he was reading the book of Isaiah, and he did not know what he was reading. So the Holy Spirit said to Philip, the Womanuite, just get on the wagon, get on the chariot. Now there are many chariots that come, but you will know his chariot because of his standing. So he got that into the chariot, and then he asked Philip, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else that is being led to the slaughter? And Philip then preached the gospel to him, teaching him that it's not Isaiah talking about Isaiah. It's Isaiah prophesying about the Messiah. And as he was preaching, they came across a body of water. And this eunuch, who just heard the message just before, says, here's some water. What is stopping me from getting baptized? And Philip said, if you believe it, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is my Savior and Lord. So they dunked him. Philip got down into Lake Wiritoa and grabbed him and dunked him. Hallelujah. It's a place of belief.
Yes. Yes.
Trusting. Hallelujah. Middle of the night, they sang, oh, come, let us adore him. And as they sang, the jail shook. Yes. And the jailer from Philippi said he was going to commit suicide. And Paul said, we are all here, don't harm yourself. And in that particular, in that very hour, according to the scripture, in that very hour, the jailer who believed in Jesus, what shall I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And your home, your household, because you're the head of the house, everybody will follow through. If you believe, they'll believe.
Yes.
In that very hour, they got baptized in the middle of the night.
Yes.
If you're born again, let me tell you, you need to get baptized.
Yes.
Otherwise, you will struggle for the rest of your life trying to make your Christian life a victory. Hallelujah. Baptism is a place of identification, where you identify with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul shares that with us in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 6. When you're buried, you identify with the burial of Christ. When you come out of the water, you identify with his resurrection. You're dead to yourself and sin. Therefore, we bury you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And you come out to live in newness of life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Baptism is also a place of obedience. Jesus got baptized. Jesus did not have to be baptized. Jesus is the Son of God. And about the only time that God said, this is my Son. Now, there are two other times when God said, this is my Son. You listen to him. He's talking to Elijah and Moses and the apostles. He said, Moses, the law listens to my son, the prophets listen to my son, and the church of the New Testament, the apostolic church, listen, you listen to my son.
Yes.
The other time when God spoke from heaven, they could not identify the voice. The Bible just said it thundered. And Jesus said, this voice did not come from my sake, it came from your sake. It came for your sake. But the first time he spoke at baptism. And he said, this is my son. In him, I'm well pleased. So baptism is a place of sonship. When you get dunked in the waters of baptism, God in heaven is smiling and said, that's my girl. That's my boy.
Yes.
I'm pleased. Hello?
Yes. Yes.
I'm happy. I'm pleased. So baptism is not just someone. Now, if you don't get saved, don't get baptized. You just a dry devil getting to be a wet devil. But if you have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life, you have to be baptized. They have the blood applied on their lives in Egypt. And if you read Exodus chapter 4, God said through Moses, tell Pharaoh that Israel is my firstborn. And Pharaoh said, I don't care who it's going to be. Don't tell me about your desert dog. So because he would not release God's firstborn, God destroyed his firstborn. But when this firstborn came to the waters of the Red Sea, he comes there as having been a slave. He's now saved. But he's a saved slave. And he comes through the waters of the Red Sea. Now, God never said, I'm going to baptize you. God just took them through. And then Paul said, when Moses did that, it was a baptism. What did she say? They were baptized then. They came to the Red Sea as slaves. They come out of the Red Sea as sons and daughters.
Hallelujah.
Of course, I can't remember this.
The slavery was merit, and everyone that goes into the waters of baptism with the blood applied to their lives, everything that you come through is buried. But you are not buried, you are alive. Now, you may struggle with that because you've been a slave for 400 years. So trying for 40 years to get their mind to think like sons was hard because they've always thought like slaves for 400 years. But the fact of the matter is they are now sons. You may not think like a son. You may not believe like a son. You may not behave like a son. But you are a son of God. So they went into the waters of baptism. None of them died. But the ones that went in without the blood applied, no Egyptian survived that. So when you come to the waters of baptism, it's the pleasure of God in saying, that's my son. When Jesus went into the waters of the Jordan and John the Baptist said, give me a break. I can't baptize you. You're the Messiah. You're the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus said, it's better. It behoves us to fulfill all righteousness. And his father looked at him. Yeah. As my son goes to faith city church. So when you come to the waters, it's a place of identification with what your Savior has been through, the death, the burial, the resurrection. It's a place of belief. You trust your future into the hands of the Savior. It's a place of the pleasure of God, and it is a place of sonship and daughtership.